Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover
across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
A consultation is underway on plans to revolutionise travel around the city. Improved bus services would be paid for by a daily congestion charge. Lisa Moschini is the chair of the Greater Cambridge Partnerships Executive Board. She is on the line now. Morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome indeed. Now, there's much more, I guess, to the proposals than that brief introduction, and we'll talk about those, of course. I guess most people listening this morning would all agree that we need to do something about congestion. But how did we get to now? Because there's been sort of little attempts over, I don't know, the 10 years or so I've been with this radio station of trying to get something done about congestion in Cambridge, but it's never really happened.
It hasn't, and you know, I've been at this for the best part of the last 2 years, and it's, but first of all, it feels longer than that. But also, proposals such as these, which are very sweeping and very bold, and they encompass quite a lot of different things, you know, active travel, buses, cycling, infrastructure, all these things, they require a very, very large level of political consensus, which at the top of Cambridgeshire we actually haven't had until now. So when you can get all the partners around the table, so that's not just the GCP, but the county, the city, the district, and the mayoralty of the combined authority, that's when you can start putting together something that actually makes sense.
Now, the GCP, for those people who don't know, the Greater Cambridge Partnership, we don't elect you, but we have elected people like yourself, who then go and sit on the GCP. Is that sort of an accurate way of describing things?
Yes. So when you get elected to the county council, like I have been, there's a number of places on what we call external bodies that the county council itself will appoint you to sitting on. So, for example, the mayoralty of the combined authority, although the mayor is directly elected, his work is scrutinised by a board, which is made up of the leaders of the five constituent districts. So, for example, my colleague and leader of the county, Lucy Nexinger, has been appointed to that. And the GCP has an appointee from the county as well, and that would be me. And they're all decided democratically by the county council.
Okay, so that's the mandate, if you like.
Indeed.
The proposal, in its most simplest form, is that the buses get improved, and then that gets funded by a £5 a day charge for basically anybody moving their car around Cambridge, obviously with a few exceptions. So what did you think when Stagecoach said they were going to pull out of running a number of the key bus services? Even before we got to improving them, they're saying, oh, we don't want to do the ones we've got.
Yes, so what I thought was, we are at crunch point. We absolutely have to get a move on because our buses are on such a downward spiral. The problem with a fully deregulated market like we have at the moment is that we've got a company running a monopoly. They can do what they like. I'm not pretending they haven't been hit. They have been hit by the pandemic. They've survived by taking taxpayer subsidies, which the government provides. But they have recently decided, you know what? If we're going to be profitable to the levels that we decide we want to be profitable, because they make a healthy profit, they're not making losses. If we want to make profit to the levels that we decide, we're going to have to start ditching some of these bus routes that are not profitable for us.
When did you first hear that they were going to be pulling back? Did somebody from Stagecoach ring up either you or one of your colleagues on the GCP and say, oh, terribly sorry, we're going to have to dump 18 bus routes?
I kind of wish they would do us that courtesy, to be honest. They had been making noises about that over the summer, which, you know, you can sort of, from some of the meetings they held, some of the letters they wrote, that they were starting to say, you know, we've got some routes that are red, that are not profitable for us. But according to the process, what they had to do was give us, I think, is it a month? I think it's a month technical notice before they deregister the routes. And they did that in September. They just turned around and said, we're cutting these.
Now, there was this dreadful Saturday, wasn't there? I think a couple of weeks ago, something like 270 services were cancelled.
Indeed, that was last Saturday.
In part because they couldn't get enough drivers. So I'm thinking to myself, if there's not enough drivers to run the services now, where are the drivers going to come from to run these extra bus services you're talking about?
Well, we absolutely have a massive challenge making sure that that gets addressed. And, you know, one of the first things...
How would you do that?
So one of the first things I like to point out to people that mention this to me is that you don't hear a lot of people saying we've got shortages of doctors and nurses, we might as well get rid of the NHS. You know, these things are needed. We need to do them and we need to fix them. And there
but we'd like to expand the health service and we'd like it to run a little bit better. So we want more doctors for that, in the same way that if we want more bus drivers, we need more people to drive them.
We do indeed, and in order to do that, there is no other way to do it. You need to make those contracts more attractive. I mean, at the moment, Stagecoach are not recruiting people with the level of benefits, with the pay that they deserve. In our scheme, we would budget for a 20% rise in pay for bus drivers so that they no longer are attracted to go and drive lorries or Amazon vans for considerably better money. We would give them benefits, we would give them pensions, we would give them proper contracts.
And this would be, this would be mayor has... Sorry to Elisa, but this would this be a GCP / council run bus service, or would you be franchising it out to, I don't know, to Whippets, to Simmons, to some of the other companies around Cambridgeshire?
So that's where the mayor comes in, you see, the mayor of the combined authority, because he has the power to franchise the buses. So if he decided, which I know he's in favour of, to franchise the routes, we could run it like in London. So you would have... You would go out to tender, you would have multiple companies taking up the contracts that the mayor decides, and you would have a healthy system where you don't have a monopoly, and therefore, even if the buses are all red and all say Transport for London, they actually are run by a number of people that can cover for each other, and you have a stable system. And you, if one operator has a problem, it doesn't all come crashing down.
Now, to the congestion charge. So to fund all of this, £5 a day. Now, my listener here, Graham, has said, morning, Julian, got a question for Ms. Sheeny. Are you happy that the congestion charge will put further pressure on families who are already struggling in the present economic climate? The rich won't blink at £5 a day and continue as before. Those on lower incomes will suffer. And that's a real problem. It's going to be a real problem for a lot of people, because for every college professor, there's half a dozen people on a very low wage.
We do have a very, you know, we do have a very big challenge with the cost of living crisis, but the primary aim of this package is to actually assist with it. You know, even
how
driving is very expensive.
How does it assist if I'm paying £5 a day to move my car somewhere?
But how many people actually at the moment are running cars when they have no alternative because there is no other way for them to commute? We've got 15,000 people in Camborne who drive into Cambridge on a massively congested, awful route. If we gave them something better, it would be much cheaper for them. And we have, you know, we've got people distraught because their jobs are imperiled. On that Saturday, I was on the phone with, you wouldn't believe it, both a guy who missed his hospital appointment and the nurse who was supposed to cure him, both on the same bus. That never happened. And the scheme is designed to actually give people a cheap alternative to the car. And we have put already, and we're consulting on it, but we've put forward a massive package of measures to look after those who cannot afford it.
So how will that happen? Will people have to apply, or what kind of systems will be in place?
Most of it will run automatically. So we've got, for people on lower incomes, we've already got council schemes that we can attach ourselves to. So these people would have their charge paid for them. We have systems to deal with hospital appointments. So just in the same way that Addenbrookes manages the car parking charges, which are exorbitant, by the way, but there are not everybody has to pay them, depending on what kind of appointment.
Because Addenbrookes is in the zone, isn't it, at the moment? I think that's one of the areas.
At the moment it is.
So you think it could be moved outside?
That depends on the consultation. The boundary is up for consultation. We believe it's fairer and more sustainable to have it in the zone, but we are happy to take different views if that is the consensus of people that come up. You know, At the moment, you know, staff in Adam Brooks are telling us that they are desperate for an efficient system to commute there because the parking is very limited. Patients find it really difficult and you have to access it fairly, Adam Brooks. So I would be actually quite wary myself of a situation where if you live in Cambridge, you pay to drive to Adam Brooks. If you live in South Cambs, you don't. But, you know, we've put it out for consultation because we want to hear what people think.
Yeah, and we'll remind people at the end of this little piece as to how they can get involved with the consultation. On Saturday, I don't use my car very often at all, but on Saturday I was out and about, and not for the first time, I was stuck fast in Cambridge traffic. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if the congestion charge is Monday to Friday, there's going to be even more congestion on a Saturday, and that's not going to help, is it?
Well, at the moment, our modelling doesn't suggest that we need a charge on a Saturday because peak time at the weekend is a lot broader and therefore lower, and it would be actually cost neutral for us to charge people on a Saturday. It wouldn't bring the kind of benefit that the weekday brings. But once again, I mean, I hate to point this out, but we kind of have to learn by doing at some point. If it doesn't work, we can change it. But you think, we're not going to know if we keep talking about it.
From what you've been saying, it's almost the challenge, yes, it's a political challenge. It's also the challenge of, from your perspective, of changing the mindset of people. Is that, and that would be tremendously difficult. And as looking at around, well, for example, Oxford, if I dare mention the other place, it kind of looks Oxford, as if Oxford is kind of like 6 months ahead of us at the moment. It's nice for them to be ahead of us and something, but they equally are going through the same machinations of how do we clear cars out of the city. Have you looked around other places, not necessarily Oxford, but other schemes around the United Kingdom to see if there is elements of other schemes that could be incorporated into Cambridge, or has this just been sort of started from scratch?
Well, there's been a little bit of starting from scratch because obviously places are unique and you can look around the United Kingdom, but actually one of the things that gets pointed out quite regularly is that the United Kingdom is uniquely unfriendly towards these kinds of schemes, whereas they're very common in Europe. So quite a lot of the examples I'm familiar with are from back home, as it were, where cities, towns, university towns, medieval hilltop towns with universities the size of Cambridge, they all have schemes like this, and they manage quite well. There's always a bit of grumbling when they get introduced, as you can imagine. But the government usually comes back about 5 years down the line and says, do you want us to take it all away? And people usually say no. In fact, always say no. I'm not aware of anyone who's actually ever said we want it taken away.
Did you think
because it helps. Accessibility and mobility.
I wonder, do you ever look at, I'm sure you do, because after the consultation, you'll be looking at the answers to that and responses very carefully, but on some of the sort of the local chat groups, they're saying all sorts of things. Sometimes they're accurate, others not. And I wonder if I would quickly, and some quick answers if we can on this, to put some of the points which I've seen over the past few days to you. First of all, some people say it's a plan to make Cambridge fun to the rest of the county.
I don't think that's fair at all, because Cambridge is mutual. This is, everything is mutual about this. Cambridge is entirely dependent. The economy of Cambridge is entirely dependent on those people we have priced out. They come in, they are our carers, our cleaners, our teachers, our hospital and supermarket workers. So, you know, if they don't come in, then we all lose.
Another one, closing roads leads to more journey miles. So in other words, if you shut a road, people go round a long way and they end up shoving out more emissions than had they've gone the original route.
Well, road closures are, you know, they exist, they serve some purposes, but I think we've come to the point where individual road closures are going to not be the answer anymore. The problem's bigger than those.
Yeah. And Labour are in cahoots with CamCycle.
I am not a member. I have not got one big relationships with them.
But they
happen to like this scheme. Yeah. I'm happy that they do.
Okay. How do we have our view? You know, if we like it, if we don't like it, the consultation is running. How do we find that?
It is running. So I could read you a string of characters on live radio, but I probably won't. If you Google GCP making connections, it will come up as your first result. It takes you to a website called Consult Cambs, which is where we host all of our consultations. It's online, it's there, very easy to spot.
GCP Making Connections. Right.
Indeed. GCP Making Connections. If you Google that, it'll come up as your first result. And it's open. The online survey is open until the 23rd of December, so fill that in. In addition to, or in alternative to, we've got paper copies at some libraries around Cambridgeshire. The webpage has the details. We have live events being run every week until December. There's a list in the website and it's being continuously updated, so we keep booking these. So keep looking for something to come up in your area. And if you want something that's not on the list, if you write to us, we will come.
Okay, that's interesting. A quick final question. Luke has been in touch whilst we've been speaking, and Luke says it's not going to be cheaper to use a bus unless it's under £1 a day versus a modern, efficient car, or even better, a motorcycle, which he says would put Deliveroo and other bike riders out of a job. So I guess two quick answers, if you can. How much is it going to cost to use buses? If I wanted to buy a day ticket, and hopefully we'll have such a thing, to use on any bus company, how much would that cost me a day?
Now, fares will be capped at £1 in the city.
Okay.
If you average out over multiple rider tickets, we don't know that yet, but the idea is that they need to be cheaper than the individual fare, don't they? Otherwise, what's the point of a rider? If we franchise the system, we set them as what we want.
Okay. And in terms of, are motorcycles going to be charged? Or these, there's these strange sort of half-electric motorcycles you see around sometimes. Are they going to have a charge as well?
At the moment, we are planning to charge motorcycles, but they would be charged depending on effectively their, what's it called, you know, the size of the engine. You know, for, you know, not all motorcycles are roadworthy in that sense.
Okay.
But it's still, again, that's up for consultation. If there is a consensus against it, we'll change it.
Okay. Well, look, Elisa, thank you very much. You've been very generous with your time for us this morning. GCP Making Connections is where you need to go into St. Google to find the link to that consultation. We'll try and catch up again with Alicia again once more before the consultation closes, and we'll start thinking about Christmas. Alicia, thank you very much.
Have a good morning.
Thank you very much. That's Alicia Moschini, who is chair of the GCP.
Cambridge 105 Radio.